Good Morning Pensacola. Andrew McKay and the Pensacola Morning News starts right now.
It's been 1 week since you looked at me. Cocked your head to the side and said I'm angry. 5 days since you laughed at me, saying get that together, come back and see me. 3 days since the living room, I realized it's all my fault, but couldn't tell you. Yesterday, you'd forgiven me, but it'll still be 2 days till I say I'm sorry.
Hold it, now I'll watch the hood wink, cause I make you stop, think. You'll think you're looking at Aquaman. I summon fish to the dish, although I like the chalet Swiss. I like the sushi, cause it's never touch a frying pan. Hot like wasabi when I bust rhymes. Speak like Leanne rhymes, because I'm all about value. Bert Camper's got the mad hits, you try to match.
Is Blaze Ngolia. You know, he's been chief financial officer now for a few months, and I don't think anybody's made more of an impact in that role in my lifetime in Florida than he has since he's been in there. He's been a real bulldog on all these issues.
We'll see what Jimmy Patronis thinks about that comment on Monday. Blaze Ngolia has been in the job for a few months. Jimmy was in it for, 6 years? So I'm not trying to rile anybody up. I just think that if you say something, it has logical content. And, you know, some people should be held to that standard. You know, people who are lawyers, like the governor. Other people maybe shouldn't be held as much to that standard if they, you know, don't have good logical, rational training. But, I'm looking forward to seeing what Jimmy has to say about that. Meanwhile, this was actually not yesterday. This was on Wednesday. This was the big Doge not reveal press conference. When they came in front of everybody and made a bunch of allegations without the backup materials being published. Still not published, by the way. Peasants can get the information eventually when we feel like it's appropriate to put it out there. Instead, we'll just let you twist in the wind on the allegations that we've put out. And trust us, we've got more we could say. I don't know anything about Blaze Ngolia other than the name. You know, I looked at my archives. I was curious how much of him I knew based on clips I'd pulled from things where he was speaking in prior, you know, bill hearings or Senate discussions or whatever. And I mean, I had one set of four clips from something. It was nothing, you know, barely anything. So I don't have any opinion about him. I come to this with a clean slate, but I'll tell you this, this first pass ain't been so great. More in a second. He is the new CFO. Of course, he took the job to, fill the vacancy left by Jimmy Patronis when he left to become our congressman.
Your office has been going around doing these FAFO audits or calculations over the past couple of months, just trying to explain to people how your local government is taxing you to the hilt. We think that they are excessively spending and wastefully spending to the tune of billions of dollars. Now, your local governments are going to come out and say that, no, we can't do that because we're going to have to cut fire, we're going to have to cut police. That is just absolute BS.
So is war with the local governments. Tax and spend local officials, people who let spending get out of control, people who don't control taxes, which, I mean, in some cases are very fair criticisms, okay? Generally speaking, if that's true, I'm with them. But it has to be true. You know, the facts are going to dictate whether any particular local government, like, you know, Gulf Breeze or Pensacola or Orlando or Miami, is really guilty of being in this group of misspenders, overspenders, tax and spend, you know, liberal, whatever, you know, pick your personal attack or your negative description. Anyway, and I've heard this, that, you know, the only place to really cut is we'd have to wind up cutting fire and police. And I've always kind of thought, well, I mean, you know, there are some less key priorities you could maybe cut if you had to. Nobody's happy about the cuts if you have to make cuts. If you cut park maintenance, people are going to be unhappy about that. If you cut street maintenance, people are going to be unhappy about that. I mean, you know, it's what does government do? Well, you know, government also does things that maybe are less essential, like buying property to be developed into affordable housing. You know, less essential, right? But what significant portion, how significant a portion of the budget is that? Well, I mean, that's the question, okay?
Let me explain the methodology and how we're going to get to these numbers. The first is that we went back to pre-COVID numbers in 2019, and we found out what the government budgets were. And then we indexed every year for inflation and population and a government inefficiency factor, and we figured out what the budgets should normally be in today. And then we compared it to what it actually is. And the numbers are absolutely astounding.
So looking at pre-COVID, say 2019, 2020, comparing it to today, putting in some undisclosed index amount for inflation. Of course, that number is going to be vital in figuring this out. Does that number accurately reflect the increase in the price of things or not? Because it may not. You know, I'd be curious to know whether that same indexed number applies to the budget of Florida, which has also gone up dramatically. I mean, it's been cut in the last year or two, but, you know, 2019 was like $82 billion. Last year was $119 billion. So, you know, I don't know. They haven't shown their work. We're left guessing. We don't have the report, so we can't really evaluate the fact or veracity of these claims.
Just those five counties, we are almost $1 billion worth of the citizens of the state of Florida being overtaxed in just those five counties.
He went through, he'd said Orange, Hillsborough, Jacksonville, Alachua, and Broward, and he gave numbers, you know, $100 million here, $300 million there, that kind of thing. And eventually, if you add it all up in those five areas, he says that it's $1 billion. Well, but again, how can I evaluate whether that's accurate? Because if all you're telling me is the base rate of inflation from 2019 or 2020 versus today's actual budget numbers, that doesn't impress me much, because having talked with our local officials about the cost of things is astronomical. It's just, you know, try to buy a road repair. Try to buy a police officer. Try to buy a CDL driver. You know, for a while you couldn't buy them at all, or it was hard. The cost is high. And if you're telling me that you allowed for inflation, you know, even at 3 or 4% a year, I know that's not enough to accommodate the increase in the price of everything. So that's why, again, yeah, I mean, he can throw these numbers around, but I don't know whether they're accurate or not. They might be. It might be that local governments are all out of control. It might be that the state, with an agenda to try to push election to higher office for the governor by building a resume on the back of a property tax elimination scheme, which I agree with philosophically, might be fudging the numbers a little bit in order to gin up public support for something that's really maybe not a completely justified plan. I don't know. But the more they don't provide the details, or the details look false or exaggerated, the more I'm led to think that, well, if I know the Pensacola ones are wrong, and the people in, you know, Alachua know that theirs are wrong, and the people in, you know, Orange County know that theirs are wrong, and the people in Hillsborough know that theirs are wrong, if everybody in these local areas says, no, that's not really right, well, I mean, you suspect that the whole thing's wrong, and add to it the fact that, what? John, what's the basic problem?
Oh, boy.
We don't have
the evidence.
We don't have the report.
Yes.
You're an accountant.
I know.
If somebody comes
to
you, if somebody comes to you and says, your business has massive problems, trust us.
I would start laughing.
I mean, they do audits every year.
They'd say, prove it to me.
Of all of these areas, everybody gets audited all the time. Oh, okay, anyway, back to the comments.
$1 billion. Now imagine when we get to every city and every county. You can see how that number could easily be in the tens of billions of dollars.
Yeah, but if the number's, you know, some magic fairy invention wand, it doesn't count for much.
So when people start talking about property tax relief and property tax reform and getting rid of property taxes on homesteaded properties, they say you can never do it. You disagree. We vehemently disagree. You could just do that by going back to the 2019-2020 levels of government pre-COVID. It would be easy to do. So do not believe it when bureaucrats and career tax and spend politicians say that they need every dime of your money, because they are just not being truthful to you.
It's a lot of rhetoric, okay, at this point. It's a lot of rhetoric. And if you note the reporting at PNJ or Channel 3, you know, nobody's really made comments much about this. Like, city council doesn't want to comment on it because they haven't seen the report. The mayor doesn't want to comment because he hasn't seen the report. Even Alex Andrade, you know, doesn't want to comment on it because he hasn't. Nobody's seen the report. So all we have are the few line items and the general, you guys all suck at this.
So, to put it in context, today, those five counties could have easily cut their budgets by $1 billion. Easily cut their budgets by $1 billion and never ever have to worry about funding fire, never have to worry about funding police, never have to worry about funding essential services.
You know what I would rather see? I mean, if they're going to make this claim, I mean, maybe this is in the report. Instead of saying baseline 2020, plus a rate of inflation over the last 5 years, how much over that are you now? one could cut back to. I'd rather see them go through the particular budget and say, okay, you know, you're spending $63,000 a year for a firefighter or whatever, you know. How many firefighters do you have? Well, that could be done for 59. You know, like, tell me how you think you can save money. Don't just aggregate it. Look at the individual line items and say, well, this is out of line with other areas or this is in line with other areas. Because then it would really be a meaningful budget assessment, a genuine look at where there's all this waste, fraud, corruption, and overspending. And again, maybe there is. How can I know? I don't have the homework to look at. 437-1620. He goes on. I'm trying to give him his best chance to represent a viewpoint, which I am very suspicious of, especially since the city of Pensacola put out a brief letter yesterday about this. More on that in a moment.
And local governments will speak out both sides of their mouths. Local governments are the biggest hypocrites when it comes to affordable housing and affordability issues. They will go and try to fund affordable housing, give it to nonprofits, they'll try to subsidize rents and all. The easiest way to give people an affordable house is to cut their property taxes. That's part of the payment. But they refuse to do that. They just want to subsidize others to do it.
I don't know that the easiest way to make your home affordable is to cut your property taxes. Maybe. I think it'd be easier if we could maybe, I don't know, fix the house insurance problem. Is this all like smoke and distraction from that massive conundrum in the state of Florida right now? Maybe. You know, but price is related to supply and demand, and we have increasing demand from people coming here. And so the effort to remedy supply is something that, I mean, all your local governments are doing. We're doing it here. The city's doing it. The county's doing it. Everybody's doing it. So he says it's hypocritical to build supply as a way to reduce prices. I've long wondered just how much impact on supply the efforts to build affordable housing would really have. I like the land trust idea. I like some of the efforts and the particulars. I just don't know in the aggregate that it's going to make that much difference in the overall housing supply issue. But, you know, okay. He's attacking them also.
In the city of Orlando.
Oh, I'm not going to get into that. That's silly. He did poetry. I mean, he did. He said there's a poetry program in Orlando, and so he made fun of it by doing poetry for free. It was silly. Anyway, but then the specific on Pensacola was one that caught everybody's attention. You've heard this clip, I suppose. I'll play it again.
On the other end of our state, the city of Pensacola, they paid almost $600,000 for a large neon "Welcome to Pensacola" sign. Maybe it should say "Welcome to Wasteful Spending."
Yeah. So he had these like what he thought were zinger lines or funny lines or whatever. And I'll just tell you, comedy's hard. sometimes lines don't land. But here's the thing. The three things that have so far been mentioned in Pensacola, the three things are the welcome sign, the Sanger Theater, and their contract, which included a portion of it that brought or is bringing the Drag Queen Christmas to town, and then the Equitable Development Value Survey Strategic Plan for $300,000. So the city puts out a letter yesterday. Well, the mayor's office, Jason Wheeler, who's the public information officer, puts out a letter yesterday, and it briefly says that the Equitable Development Values Survey and Strategic Plan, the two elements of that, Strive to Thrive and Equitable Development Values Survey, were both small portions of massive public outreach over a time of 6 months for the Hollis T. Williams Stormwater Park project. And given that this is a project that's being completed in a disadvantaged area that was historically adversely affected by the bifurcation of I-110 and all the surrounding issues, $300,000 is, I mean, pennies compared to the overall value of that project. So I don't mind any of that. But, you know, it's got the keywords. It's got the ugly words on it. That's why Blazing Goalie is worked up about it. Then you have the Sanger Theater. Well, the Sanger Theater, as I have mentioned a couple of times, doesn't cost the city money. It makes the city money. In 2022, it made us $140,000. In 2023, it made us $205,000. In 2024, it was $418,000. And it's got 252 so far, plus another 75 coming at least by the close of the book. So the 150 spent for, I thought it was ASM. They say it was Legends Global. I'm not sure what the relationship is, so I apologize. But in any case, it revenues generates money. So it's not a spend $150,000. It's also not that we contracted for the drag queen company to buy drag queen shows for $150,000, which is what their release made it seem like. So that was super exaggerated. The one that was the most hilarious, I mentioned this on the air briefly yesterday. I know Rick Outzen picked up on the theme, or it may have done his own research. I'm not saying he heard me say it. He may have done it himself. But the city also put out a note and said, you know that Pensacola welcome sign for $600,000? It's kind of an interesting story. When FDOT demolished the old bridge to build the new bridge and demolished the old Five Flags Welcome Center in order to create a laydown area for a lot of their equipment and then left that at the end, they promised that they would help us rebuild a suitable facility to welcome people to Pensacola. And so they did. So the $600,000 that the city of Pensacola is alleged to have wasted on the welcome sign was actually $470,000 from FDOT and $185,000 from federal funds from the American Rescue Plan. So here's the thing. I have heard that the Doge team was largely incompetent, that they largely didn't even know what they were doing and had to be taught by our folks how to even read budgets. That's the story I've heard. Okay. I don't know if it's true. I don't have access to it. That's what I've heard. But based on this colossal stupidity, it would seem. Oh, and they also did not even ask about the Sanger when they were here. That was added after the fact to pile on the controversy surrounding the issue. That was not a part of the Doge initial. They didn't ask anything about that when they were here. So between those two pieces particularly, what I had said yesterday is this looks like a dog and pony show to generate controversy around a political aim of getting the property tax agenda item on and to make the governor look like the tough guy on economic matters. And it doesn't look like it's justified in any significant way. Also, if you are this bad at reading a major element of the budget criticism, and, you know, good practice would have been, hey, we have these six items we're going to criticize you on. What's your response before we publish anything so that we can get, you know, to the bottom of it and not make any colossal mistakes? Oopsie. So the one clip that's been played many, many times on local media about the, you know, neon welcome sign, oops. Curious to see what kind of apology we'll get. 526 on News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. I'm Andrew McKay.
I'm still going for it, even with higher stroke risk from atrial fibrillation and a regular heartbeat not caused by a heart valve problem. Over a three-year study, Eliquis apixaban tablets reduced stroke risk better than warfarin, and over 97% of Eliquis patients did not experience a stroke. A first stroke occurred in 2.9% of warfarin patients versus 2.3% of Eliquis patients.
Don't stop prescription Eliquis without asking your doctor. Stroke risk may increase. Eliquis can cause serious and potentially fatal bleeding. Don't take if you have an artificial heart valve, abnormal bleeding, or antiphospholipid syndrome. While taking, you may bruise more easily or bleed longer. A spinal injection increases blood clot risk, which may cause paralysis. Get medical help right away for unexpected bleeding or bruising, or back pain, tingling, numbness, muscle weakness, or incontinence. Aspirin products, NSAIDs, SSRIs, SNRIs, and blood thinners increase bleeding risk. Tell your doctor about planned medical or dental procedures. Learn more at Eliquis.com or call 1-855-ELIQUIS.
Bands on the Beach is presented by the Santa Rosa Island Authority at the Gulfside Pavilion on Pensacola Beach. You are invited to come out with a blanket or a lawn chair and sit back and relax and enjoy your favorite bands. This week, it's Crosstown. They're going to be delivering a crowd-pleasing blend of classic rock, blues, and everything in between. It'll be something for everyone to enjoy. So bring your friends and feel the breeze and sing along at Bands on the Beach this Tuesday night at 7. Remember, no pets or glass allowed.
It's the Always Sunny Show. When you're ready to throw a barbecue, it's Always Sunny's. Join us today at 9:30 with me, Eldon Scott, to hear about barbecue events in the Pensacola community, win some amazing prizes, and hear from community leaders and how Sonny's Barbecue has built a strong Pensacola for 40 years. Pep Talk with Eldon Scott, spreading the spirit of barbecue far and wide. Remember to tell Sonny that Eldon sent you.
The Pensacola Expert Panel on News Radio 92.3 and AM 1620.
Do you want to stay up to date on the latest news, weather, and traffic updates, but don't always have time to listen to the radio? Well, now you can get text alerts from the News Radio Pensacola app.
What in the wide, wide world of sports is going on here? I had you people try to get a little track lead, not to jump around like a bunch of Kansas City...
That's just say some clips absolutely have to be edited appropriately.
Yeah, we'll have to say that.
529 on News Radio 92.3. John Pickens, I appreciate that. David Wayne is in the newsroom with our headlines. David?
Well, good morning, gentlemen. Today is the day apparently Taylor Swift fans have been waiting
Not
for.
Not apparently.
Her 12th album.
Nicole Stacy is here dressed up in orange sequins just to prove a point.
Her 12th album, The Life of a Showgirl, is now out. In her first social media post after the album release, Swift wrote, quote, "Can't tell you how proud I am to share this with you, an album that just feels so right."
Tell me more about this Taylor Swift person. Who is this exactly?
Just, you have to Google it.
Nicole's such a dear friend. I was messing with her the other day. I'm like, album? What album? Everybody's going to split in half of me. That's so funny.
Fox News, I'm Gianna Gelosi. It is day three of the government shutdown, and another vote on spending is expected in the Senate today. While President Trump warned on Truth Social of federal funding cuts and layoffs, calling Budget Director Russ Vogt the Reaper on Truth Social.
The president suggesting he'll use the shutdown as a roadmap to make big cuts. Republicans are blaming the potential consequence at the Democrats' feet, saying it would not happen if Dems just helped reopen the government.
That's Fox's Madeline Rivera, the president sending a memo saying the U.S. is in an armed conflict with drug cartels.
The memo says this, quote, "The United States has now reached a critical point where we must use force in self-defense and defense of others." But some lawmakers think the president is stretching the limits of his power, saying Congress holds the constitutional power to declare war.
Fox's Chanley Painter, America's listening to Fox News.
Good morning, 531 at News Radio 92.3. Right now we've got partly cloudy skies. It is 68 degrees in Pensacola. We'll get to our forecast with meteorologist Brooke Richardson here in just a few minutes. The government shutdown has halted the Blue Angels tour season currently. They've returned to NAS Pensacola from the West Coast, where they had been scheduled for an appearance this weekend at the California International Air Show. Other events like Fleet Week in San Francisco are also currently on standby, with organizers hoping that the government reopens in time for the Blue Angels to participate in their shows. Former Northwest Florida contractor Matthew Banks, a little bit closer to a resolution in one of his 13 fraud cases. Prosecutors did recently add a charge of grand theft over $20,000 during a hearing. New allegation follows claims that Banks repeatedly accepted 50% down payments for contracting jobs without completing work. Prosecutors compared his actions to that of a Ponzi scheme. The case centers on John Mayfield, who said he paid Banks more than $61,000 for a home renovation, which was never finished. With previous charges, including racketeering and organized fraud, Banks could face a prison sentence of up to 95 years if he's convicted. The trial will proceed without a jury after Banks' decision to waive that right. Convenience store chain Wawa opens its third Pensacola area store today. The North Davis Highway location at 8550 North Davis set to open this morning with a ribbon cutting at 8:30 in the morning. The event will feature fire and police representatives competing in the Hoagies for Heroes sandwich building contest. They'll also have a parade with Wawa associates visitors can enjoy free coffee, and actually that'll be all the way through the 5th. Wawa's planning to continue their panhandle expansion with 20 to 25 new stores in the coming years. Well, Ashley Moody will give away her pay during the federal government shutdown. She announced this week that she'll be donating her salary to the Crisis Center of Tampa Bay. According to the center's website, that'll help those who are struggling with domestic violence, substance abuse, medical emergencies, and other issues. Moody says the center will provide help to vulnerable populations who could be impacted by the decision to shut down the government. 534, let's get a look at our Channel 3 weather forecast with Brooke Richardson.
Temperatures are going to warm up today near 82 degrees with a 10% chance of a stray shower. Otherwise, partly cloudy skies with the winds coming out of the east-northeast at 15 to 20 miles an hour. Overnight tonight, temperatures dropping near 70 degrees. Keeping the windy weather around on Saturday, 20% chance of a stray sprinkle. Otherwise, mostly cloudy skies, high near 82. Winds still out of the east-northeast at about 20 miles an hour. Stay connected to Channel 3 News First Morning Weather Team. Download the WEAR-TV weather app. This is Brooke Richardson from the First Morning Weather Center.
Thank you very much, Brooke. 68 degrees. Right now, we've got partly cloudy skies. Our next news at 6 and breaking news anytime. I'm David Wayne for News Radio 92.3.
I'm Nicole Murray with Your Money Now. Apple said that it is removing apps from its app store that can be used to track immigration and customs enforcement officers. The move came after pressure on the company from Attorney General Pam Bondi. The FBI said a gunman whose recent attack on a Dallas ICE facility led to the deaths of two detained immigrants and the wounding of a third detainee searched apps tracking the presence of ICE agents. Shares of Japanese conglomerate Hitachi have soared over 9% after it announced a partnership with OpenAI to build artificial intelligence infrastructure and data centers globally. OpenAI Sora 2 produces longer, more realistic clips than its predecessor and is going viral with videos like one of Sam Altman's shoplifting GPUs. A person familiar with internal strategy at the company said leadership views strict guardrails as essential, but also worries about stifling creativity or being perceived as censoring too much. Futures are slightly higher. Thursday, the Dow Industrials gained 78. That's Your Money Now.
Come on. Come on. Start.
Looking for reliable auto repairs without breaking the bank?
Well, yeah.
At Affordable Automotive, we keep your car and your budget running smooth.
That's more like it.
Hi, I'm Kenny with Affordable Automotive in Gulf Breeze. My father started this business over 30 years ago, and we continue to proudly serve the Gulf Coast with trusted local service. Whether you're a first-time or returning customer, we inspect each vehicle like it's our own. From oil changes, engine replacements, and diagnostics, our certified techs do it right the first time. Fast, honest, and fair, just like auto service should be. So if your car needs care, bring it to Affordable Automotive in Gulf Breeze, a mile west of the Gulf Breeze Zoo. Visit us at AffordableAutomotiveGulfBreeze.com and schedule your appointment today. That's AffordableAutomotiveGulfBreeze.com. Affordable Automotive. Quality you can afford.
Tired of your roof playing peekaboo with the rain? Call Quality Roofing. They fix leaks faster than your neighbor borrows your lawnmower.
Thank you, neighbor.
Whether it's storm damage or shingles gone wild, their expert team handles it all. No duct tape required. With top quality materials and service so good, even your mother-in-law will approve, especially their lifetime workman warranty. Don't wait for your ceiling to start drip-dropping. Call Quality Roofing Solutions. Quality Roofing Solutions, because your house deserves a hat that actually fits.
The I-10 Wired TechNet CyberCoast Summit returns October 29th to Pensacola Beach. Presented by IT Gulf Coast and Blue Angels AFSEA chapter, get connected with top-level cybersecurity, AI, and emerging technology experts. The conference features a free career fair, prizes, and an amazing welcome reception on Pensacola Beach. Discounts available for students, military, and government employees. Visit itenwired.com for tickets.
News Radio Pensacola has you covered no matter where you are or how you like to listen. Tune into our frequencies on 92.3 FM, 95.3 FM, and AM 1620 for the latest breaking news, local updates, and in-depth analysis. Can't be near a radio? No problem. Stream us live on our website or through our convenient app. Available for download on your mobile device. Plus, with our smart device integration, you can ask your virtual assistant to play News Radio 92.3, and we'll be right there with you. It's News Radio Pensacola.
Good morning, 538 here on News Radio 92.3. I'm Andrew McKay. It's Pensacola Morning News. The beginning of this interview we did yesterday with Mike Wood, it sounds a little awkward if I don't explain. but I'll try to do the briefest explanation possible. You may not have heard us covering this, but Chris Dosa, former candidate for District 2 State House and also for Congress District 1 against Matt Gaetz, had gone to the Santa Rosa County delegation meeting to complain to Matt's dad, Don, that Matt had purchased ChrisDosev.com after Chris no longer cared to maintain it because he was not running for office anymore. Chris, and it turns out the truth of this is it looks like Chris, Matt sold it to somebody else or distributed it to somebody else, who then decided to link the URL to Grindr. It's just really, really mean. Chris went to Don at the Santa Rosa delegation meeting and say, you know, hey, can you fix this for me? You're a man who gets things done. Can you get your boy to fix this? It's not even Matt who did it, apparently. Anyway, so I, in making sure that the link was still active, had actually entered ChrisDosev.com on my computer, which took me to Grindr. And then I realized while we were talking about this on the air that I had done this not in incognito mode. So I was jokingly thinking to myself, great, what am I going to be seeing now in my Facebook feed for the next month? Because God only knows. So that was the context around which I brought Mike Wood on to talk with him. He is the public information officer for the Pensacola Police Department. Mike, welcome back, sir.
Hey, it looks like you took one for the team. You probably saved a lot of listeners a lot of heartache from doing the same thing.
Oh, yeah, I'm sure that's what I did. I'm sure that.
Look at the bright side.
I know. Okay. Anyway, I feel like take one for the team might not be the best phrase in this environment, but okay. So anyway, let's just move on as best we can. Where am I? You guys, you had a Whataburger on Davis and Burgess got robbed at gunpoint earlier this month. Is that right?
Yeah, it was through the drive-thru. The individual ordered a soda, and when he pulled up to the drive-thru, he displayed a gun. He did apologize beforehand, but still the same. He robbed them and got some cash, and I think it was only $100. It's not, you know, there's not a lot of people using cash anymore, so armed robberies at restaurants and convenience stores is not very lucrative these days. But, yeah, he was arrested for that incident.
You know, that's actually – do you know, is that actually more likely or is it more – are you seeing fewer of those kinds of robberies because the prevalence of cash is so much lower?
Well, I mean, the armed robberies, I believe – I'll have to look it up to make sure, but just being told through interdepartmental emails and things like that that they're not like they used to be. The numbers are just not there. And why that is very well could be because of people using mostly debit and credit cards now.
Yeah, I mean, look, you know, criminals are behaviors in an environment where they have to respond to what, you know, the market's doing around them. And if the market's not paying them what it used to pay, I mean, interesting. I'd never thought about that, but it's a great point you make. You guys had another burglary of a church last night. Is that right?
Yeah, that was last night at First United Methodist Church at 6 East Wright Street. They were able to see by video that the individual was inside with a flashlight. They deployed a K-9 and eventually caught the guy outside the church in the courtyard area. And then they did some more investigations and found out that that church was burglarized 3 nights before as well by this person. So, so good capture on the part of patrol last night.
I mean, what was he trying to get? I don't think of First UMC as like the repository of great wealth. He's trying to steal candlesticks or something? Like, what was he trying to get?
I don't know.
Okay.
I don't know if they called if he had anything on him, but it's hard to tell.
Okay. All right. Curious. One of the big news stories of the week was, what was it, yesterday we had a bomb threat that turned out to be nothing, but still you got to take these things seriously near Lakeview, right?
Yeah, it was. It was outside on a table, and it's unusual for a person to walk up to an employee and say, hey, there's a backpack over there on the table, and it's got a bomb in it. So, you know, bomb threats have happened before, but usually for an entire building or a school or something like that. But this was an individual a package. So we evacuated the buildings around that and blocked off the area. Bomb experts came in. They took an X-ray of that backpack and determined there was nothing inside.
And this is a case where the person who left the backpack was not the person who reported it, right? There's no connection between the two?
No, there's no connection. We're still looking for the person that left the backpack.
And, you know, I remember living in London a long time ago, you know, in the mid-90s, and, you know, they would close down, the underground routinely because somebody left a package. It was high terrorism, you know, watch time back then, but you know, we haven't seen a lot of this stuff, but you have to take it seriously because that's exactly what it would be like, whether it's a Unabomber or a terrorist or whatever, is you have to take appropriate measures just in case, right?
Yeah, and let me correct myself. The person that left the backpack was located. There was nothing. He was not trying to do anything wrong. It was the second person that reported that the backpack had a bomb in it. That's the person that we're seeking.
Oh, okay. I gotcha. Not because they have done something wrong, but just wanted to make sure, right?
Well, the person that said that there was a bomb in it is the one that did something wrong.
Oh, he actually said it was a bomb. Okay, my fault. I listened very poorly, so I apologize for that. We're talking on Tuesday with Sheriff Simmons about ShotSpotter. He indicated that we all know the funding has gone away, but he also indicated that, you know, they weren't particularly sad about the technology going away because the vast majority of the shots identified were not crimes necessarily. They were just accidental discharges or, you know, things that didn't amount to anything. Have you guys, I mean, what's your perspective as a department? And I mean, I assume ShotSpotter is going away because the money's gone away, but you tell me, is that true? And is it something that's really led to a lot of solved crimes?
Most of the time we would get there and find shell casings, but nobody injured. So that indicates to us that they were shooting in the air or maybe in the ground or to scare somebody or for one of many reasons they could have done that. But we also had incidents where a person was hit and we may not have known about it until they either went to get treatment at the hospital or some other way, but there was no 911 calls right after that. So it goes both ways, but I agree with the sheriff. Most of the time it was just we would get there and nobody was injured and just found shell casings in the area.
And there's no plan to particularly pursue funding to extend the contract, right? Or is there? You tell me.
Well, we would like to. ShotSpotter is good. I mean, it's shown us that it's worth. You know, I don't know if it's worth the price that they want. I mean, it's a service. That's how they make their money. But it has helped us. So this is something that we are looking for grants to extend. But if we don't find that sort of funding to do it, then we're not going to have it anymore. It's as simple as that.
On that note, I saw something. I think it was New York City had installed a technology that they were calling Sound Spotter, and it was designed where you would basically have a camera array on a light pole and basically a microphone, the kind of thing that you might see on the sideline of a sporting event where it's designed to capture, you know, noise at a distance or whatever, and it would measure the decibels. And so people dry on, you know, illegal mufflers or playing music too loud, violating their sound ordinance. It would read the sound, capture the license plate on the camera, and then basically issue a ticket like a red light camera, but for sound violations. And I immediately thought of all the problems that you guys have had with downtown sound violations. Is this something that PPD has looked at, that, you know, the city is looking at? Do you know? Has it even come to your attention yet?
Not today. Look, you know, with red light cameras, an officer can see if the violation actually occurred or not. There's no doubt whether it did. With sound, I'm sitting here trying to think, how are we going to verify that? So to answer your question, no, we're not looking at anything like that.
Yeah, I don't even know enough about the technology. I wonder if it runs a video recording essentially and captures the sight and sound all together at one time. But yeah, I was curious, and you know, as expected, I think you guys aren't doing that. And council can make whatever decisions it wants to make, I suppose. Last thing we always like to before we get to the did you know, any updates on red light cameras since you mentioned them? Any new information, data? Have we seen it affecting crash one way or the other? You know, sometimes the theory is that it increases the number of fender benders, but decreases the number of serious crashes. Have we seen anything that we can latch onto as far as it working or not working yet?
I don't have that data, but I will have it for you the next time we speak.
Okay.
Can tell you there's still plenty of people running red lights, though.
Yeah, no, I don't doubt that at all. I see them all the time. We always like to end with a did you know or a cop myth. Do you have one for me this week, Mike?
Yeah, we're always talking about debunking myths on cop shows. And how about myths about the cop show itself, the show Cops? You know, the music that you play before I come on each week is from the show Cops. And one of the myths is about that song was made for the show. That's not true. That song existed before the show ever came to be, is one of the facts. The other one is that every person that's arrested on that show must sign a waiver to appear on the air. So you would think, you know, a person's worst day of their life, they certainly don't want to be put on national television, but there's a bunch of them that do.
You're telling me that the can of corn guy in Santa Rosa County signed a waiver?
Yes, or they would not make it on the air.
Wow. Man, people will do anything to be famous. Okay, all right. Wow. Okay, go on. I'm fascinating.
Yeah. Even if it's for 5 minutes. So, yeah, that was surprising to me as well. But, you know, the engineers, the crew are supposed to stay out of it. They're supposed to film, and that's it. But there was one incident where a sound engineer had to toss his equipment on the ground in order to assist an officer that was in a fight. No officers on the show are paid. The show got its was able to get on the air and was picked up by Fox during a writer's strike in 1988. This show has no script, so no writers were needed. So it was a perfect timing situation for that. And last but not least, some of the law enforcement agencies who participate in the series see the show as a positive recruiting tool, while others see it as a liability. And I kind of actually think that it's a good positive recruiting tool myself. But yeah, there you have it. Some facts about the
Interesting.
Show.
Interesting. When was the last time you guys were on Cops?
We haven't been.
Ever?
I believe Escambia County has. And
yeah.
Some others. No, we have not. We have not.
Interesting.
Been,
but, I know Escambia and Santa Rosa both have. Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely.
Okay, well, interesting. Mike Wood, he is the public information officer for the Pensacola Police Department. He always tells us what's going on, helps keep us safe, and puts up with me, which is the biggest challenge of his job, I'm sure. Mike, thanks. Thanks as always, sir. We'll talk
to
you next week.
Top five.
Top five.
Thank you.
Oh, only top five? Oh, man, I can't even be best at bad things. I can't even be the best at bad things. Oh, I love Mike. Oh, man. 437-1620, 437-1620. Hey, if you're looking for the next vehicle, you may not be. I know, you know, I ask you a question, you answer no, and then you tune out. Well, okay, it might not be time just yet. That's the time to go. Not the time when you just bought something, and not the time when, like, any day this car might break down and fail. Before that, like 3 to 6 months before that is when you should really start looking, because you know it's coming. And you're putting it off and you're avoiding the question. And that's only going to make it worse, because when you get to the crisis moment, now all of a sudden, if something happens or there's some $1,500 repair in your car that you're not willing to put in, understandably, because those repairs, you start to think, well, is this just, you know, good money after bad? But you get to a point where, you know, you're in a crisis because you got to buy a car, you don't have a car, you're stressed, you're shopping and purchasing all at the same time. Okay, here's how you alleviate that. You go looking before the crisis. You go looking in advance to make sure you know what you want to buy, and then you can sort of casually look for the right price or the right trim level or the right color over time and get it when it's convenient. Or if push comes to shove, at least at that moment, all you're doing is looking for the right one and not having to figure out which one is the right one. That's the idea. So use Frontier as your plan ahead. Go there, test a bunch of cars, and see what you like. They might have what you want, and you buy it. That's what happened to us. They might have it close and not quite, or they might not have it yet or the right price or whatever, but, you know, that's fine. Get information and be prepared. Frontier Motors, serving the Pensacola community for more than 25 years. Behind the Big Buffalo on Beverly Parkway, be sure to tell them Andrew McKay says hi.
Wheelhouse, great ball, over the top. Usain Krama just trot in there, baby.
Florida State and Miami will square off in a classic college football showdown Saturday night in Tallahassee on the Seminole Sports Network, presented by Wolfson Children's Hospital.
Tomorrow, it's the Florida State Seminoles versus the Miami Hurricanes. Pre-game is at 4:30 on your home for FSU football. News Radio 92.3.
When a storm is brewing, you need reliable information at your fingertips. Tune in to News Radio 92.3 for comprehensive hurricane coverage you can count on. Our team of anchors and reporters are in studio and at the County Emergency Operations Centers, bringing you live updates, safety tips, and emergency resources. From storm tracking to storm information, we've got you covered. Stay informed, stay safe. When the winds pick up, we're right there with you. News Radio 92.3, your trusted source during hurricane season.
Fall is a great time of the year for gardening. Whether it's fertilizing the lawn, pruning, planting shrubs, cool weather color, and of course, winter vegetables. This is Mike Wiggins. If you've got gardening questions, we've got the answers on the News Radio Garden Line. Every Tuesday morning at 9 on the Pensacola Expert Panel. And if you miss us on Tuesday, then catch the Encore Edition every Saturday morning at 9.
Sponsored by Pensacola Hardware and Blue Sky Landscaping.
Guy Benson, keeping you informed of the news every day at 2, right after Mark Van Camp and Robbins on News Radio 92.3. Informative, local, dependable.
Here's your sign.
All right, John, question number one, name the band. Oh, come on now. That voice is so distinctive.
I know it is.
You know what
I
it
can't.
Sounds like. It's Led Zeppelin.
I couldn't think of the name.
The name is very creatively Sugar Mama.
Well, I had that
names.
Part.
I know. That one part's easy to figure out.
I love deep cuts. I do, man. Albums, the days of albums when, you know, you would buy it for the two songs or the one song or because you just love the band or whatever.
Or you and got those nine tapes for a penny
Random House
or
Columbia yeah. House or, yeah, or whoever, yeah. Nobody knows what that is anymore. The deep cuts are some of the best stuff, really. 554 here on, 555 on News Radio 92.3. I'm Andrew McKay. Stop it.
Cough.
Twofer. David Wayne's in the newsroom with our headlines. David?
Well, good.
Ironically, also a Led Zeppelin cut. Okay, we'll move on. Where's that confounded bridge? All right, David, go ahead, sir.
Good morning. President Trump promising federal layoffs during the ongoing government shutdown. Today, of course, is day three. Democrats showing no signs of budging on their demands for health care funding. Yesterday, the president said he'd use the shutdown to decide which agencies to close. And later, White House spokeswoman Carolyn Leavitt said that Trump would be using the shutdown to cut agencies and programs that don't align with the administration's policies and values. Well, the...
You mean he was intending to get a shutdown so that he could make further cuts that he's been thwarted on making before? Seems like a very devious plan to me. Go on.
The jobs report is not going to be released today. The Bureau of Labor Statistics was set to publish the official report, but the shutdown has...
I feel like there's something super ironic in the idea that the people who are telling us what the jobs numbers aren't doing their job
yeah.
right now.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, something about that seems kind of meta funny to me, but okay, go on.
Apparently, Apple is pulling ice trackers from their app store. The tech company said yesterday that they'd be removing IceBlock and any other apps that are used to report sightings of ice agents.
Interesting. All right, David, thanks so much for the update. Quick look at the meteorological tropical weather outlook from NOAA.
Boy, that sounded really official.
I don't
bro.
Know. Whatever. All season long, I have been basically looking at this map saying, not us, not us, not us. And now there's not one but two maybe us's on here.
10% chance.
Yeah, I know. It's a low chance of formation. I mean, we're going to get rain over the weekend, right? From this one that's currently located, like, basically on top of Miami, and the blob heads vaguely in our direction, and that's like a 10% chance. The other one that is, you know, just basically recently departed Africa is a 30% chance. And the only reason I mention, I usually never mention them unless they're close or high percentage. It's just this is the first time the whole season I've seen one that was on the path that worries me. All the other ones were obviously not coming our way. This is the one where I'm like, ooh, that's aimed right in the wrong place. So, you know, we'll see. I mean, it's a long ways away and, you know, whatever. Plus, it's October. All right. Blue Angels show season is on pause. They came home yesterday. Didn't do a flyby on the beach. No big showy, nothing. You know, this weekend show is canceled. Next weekend show. Everything is on pause until the government shutdown stops. Same thing for Fort Pickens. Remember, it was briefly open for a day with, like, the honor system, and now there's the PNJ is reporting that they've got, you know, barricades up and gate closed, and you just can't even go there anymore. I mean, you could still go by boat, but you could always go by boat. You know, that's always – it's sand. You know, you can still get there. You just can't get there the car way, right?
You know what? I'll step up and fly one of the Blue Angels.
Will you?
For you.
Okay.
For the show.
Are you?
I'll
think
step
you're...
up. I mean, somebody's got to do it. Don't pay me. I just want keys to the jet.
Good luck with that plan.
I know.
All right, 437.
Mama's on. You listening?
Oh, John.
What?
So she's not the
I know,
chain
but
of command
still,
for the Blue Angels.
But still,
she has no
but still,
say for them. Like
she could put in a good word, or
it's like
throw
you saying
me
you'd drive the sheriff's vehicle because you know, hey, Mr. Mayor, are you I love you, bro, but come on.
Not very nice.
It's 437-1620.
More pool than I do.
That's definitely true. But of course, you know, the base is also closed for all the, you know, to the public anyway. So the museum, you can't, I mean, the Blues aren't, I assume they're not going to practice? I don't know the answer to that. I hadn't actually reached out to them. The I think PNJ or Channel 3 said they tried to get a hold of him and did not succeed. I don't know if they, I mean, you can't go watch the practice, so I assume they're not practicing either. If they're not showing, they're not practicing, which means that they're going to be
rusty
off if they do have to come back because they haven't practiced. I don't know. Maybe they are practicing. We'll find out, later today. We'll find out. Well, they don't practice on a Friday typically. I don't know. We'll see. You know, I am a font of not knowledge this morning, so I apologize about that. I still can't get over this, that the CFO attacked the city of Pensacola for spending money on a project that was actually FDOT spent it. That cracks me up.
Listen on air.